feedback there.
Well, good morning. I invite you to stand and open up God's word with me. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 through 12. This is the inerrant word of God. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is vanity. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Four and a half years ago, I married my wife Allison on a January day. It was 55 degrees. And one of the best memories I have of that day is that my grandma and grandpa were there. My grandma, I got to walk her down the aisle, and my grandpa was in tow. And I just remember their faces just beaming with joy and pride. 2 months after that, my grandfather passed away. And I just remember how awesome it was that he could enjoy that time with Allison and I, because he was a man that lived for God. He was a man that had wisdom. He was a man that honored Christ. He was a man that let the Holy Spirit lead in his life. And I'll never forget, on his deathbed, he said to a few of the family members, "May God give you all good mercy." That was Grandpa Cheddar's life. He wanted to invest in others. He wanted to make sure that godliness was in his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. He wanted to make sure that he invested in them, and his legacy will live on. He fathered 7 children. My mom is the oldest of 7. 19 grandchildren followed, and 7 great-grandchildren. What a legacy. Out of the 7 children, 3 of his boys became pastors. They lead churches this morning in worship as the senior pastor of their church. And the 19 grandchildren, they are all walking with Christ today. Every single one of them. They have bowed the knee to Christ and are living for him. And I can't help but think that Grandpa Cheddar's legacy is what is driving a lot of it. The life he lived, the influence that he had on us. And that's really the theme of this text this morning as we look at it together, is a theme: a life lived for Christ is a legacy of wisdom. A life lived for Christ is a legacy of wisdom. You know, in chapter 6, if you just turn back there real briefly, we taught last week that Solomon, our preacher, gathers us together to hear really the dissatisfaction of a life lived underneath the sun. He talks about if a father fathers 100 children and lives many years, yet his soul is not satisfied in life's good things, a stillborn child is better off than he. Do you remember reading that? And then in verse 6, even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to one place? He's really talking about the vanity of life underneath the sun, the temporal mindset. Yet in chapter 7, he flips a switch. He flips a switch and he starts talking about eternal focus. Not the temporal, but now talking about the eternal. He asks the question in 6, what is the wise man's advantage over the fool? What is it? All go to the same place, all die. Our advantage is in chapter 7. The wise man's advantage is in chapter 7, and he shows us that. Look at verse 1. As we think about a life lived for Christ is a legacy of wisdom. Keep the eternal mindset in focus here. The eternal focus is the key in chapter 7. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. Well, how can this be? How can this be? Without the eternal mindset, it's not true. Without the focus on Christ as Lord, without your focus on life living for God, then it won't be true of you. He says a good name is better than precious ointment. What is a name? When I think of a name, it's really the fame, the glory, the lasting influence that you and I will have. A good name. What kind of influence will your life leave behind? It's a legacy of godliness. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. He talks about this word precious ointment. It's used many times in the Old Testament. 165 times it's used as oil, 14 times as ointment. Well, what's its use? Well, it was used in worship. It was used for sacrifice. It was used for light, lighting a lamp. It was used for cooking, anointing. It had a fragrant aroma. So do you think it's good? Probably, right? Precious ointment is important. But your character, your lasting influence, he says, is more important. Again, the eternal focus. The mindset of eternity, not this temporal earth. Then he goes on in 1b, the day of death better than the day of birth. Again, how can this be? Birth is a celebration. We've all had kids. We celebrate them. We talk about what we're going to name them. We talk to our friends and family about the pictures that we've taken at their birth. We also talk about their length and their weight. We're excited about what their life is going to be. Yet he says the day of death is better than the day of birth. Thomas Botson said, in the day of a man's birth, he was born to die. In the day of his death, he dies to live. It's only true with eternity in focus. It's only true knowing that you and I await our Heavenly Father in heaven together, and we will be there for all eternity to the praise and the glory of his name. Death is our entrance into glory. Death can be our best day. Charles Spurgeon said, believers reach their port, all danger over, and come to their desired haven. He goes on, look at verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. After my grandfather died, we met in my uncle's home. We also met in his home where my grandma lives now. And there was a sense in which we all grieved, we all mourned, we all celebrated his life. But there was a grieving process. There was sorrow involved. And that's what he's talking about in verses 2 and 3 here. The living take it to heart. It's a literal meaning of the living give their hearts. They give their hearts. One commentator said, every funeral anticipates our own. Psalm 90:12 teaches us this. Though, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Matthew Henry said, it will do us more good to go to a funeral than to go to a festival. If Jesus wept at Lazarus's death, and in a moment, he literally is going to bring him back to life, how much more should we mourn those we have lost? It's painful. It is right for us to cry. It is right for us to grieve and mourn. And that's what he says here. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face, the heart is made glad. Sadness can lead to wisdom, and therefore to better joy. Now, I know many of you have lost those that you've loved. And many of us could be on the cusp. We don't know what this life will bring. But the focus here is, what is your legacy going to be when you're gone? It is about an eternal mindset this morning. And I challenge you to be thinking about that this morning with me. Because this is hard, isn't it? It's so much easier to think about what's for lunch after this and what's next and plan 2 months down the road. But no, he's asking us, Solomon here, to be thinking about eternity. Forward thinking as a Christian. Verse 4 talks about this house of mirth. You guys know what mirth is? It means pleasure. It means happiness. It means joy. Is that a terrible thing? A house of joy? A house of happiness? No. They're not bad in and of themselves. But in verse 4, he says that fools long to go to the house of pleasure, where you and I as Christians, with our legacy in mind, in view of Jesus Christ our Lord, our hearts are in the house of mourning. As Christians, we are not pleasure seekers, are we? We should always have eternity in full view, remembering we are sojourners, foreigners here on earth. And Solomon is saying, when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. Just like in Matthew 5, when Christ was speaking at the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul picks this theme up. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation. I want to highlight a few benefits of death on us that are living. And just think about these. These are benefits to us that are living as we take it to heart. We understand more clearly the final result of the fall. We get to consider how life really is a vapor, how short it truly is. We're reminded up to this point in our lives, what have I accomplished in my life? What have I done in my life? We get to recommit ourselves to live for eternity. We get to prepare to die. And then ultimately, and I love this, we get to understand that no one lives a life to themselves. A life and a death impacts those around us. A life and a death impacts others. The Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is what? Gain. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. He's echoing the words of Solomon. Better is the day of death than the day of birth. Do you have that eternal focus? I challenge you, as we live our days here on earth, that we have eternity in full view. A life lived for Christ is a legacy of wisdom. And that legacy is fully appreciated at death. Let's look at a legacy of wisdom fully apprehended. This is truly wisdom being imparted to you and I. Verses 5 and 7. How do we obtain wisdom, do you think? Verse 5 and 7, he says, it is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. Oh man, do we love the song of fools. We have them on our iPods, our iPads. We have them on Spotify, Pandora Radio. Man, we love the song of fools. But what's better? The rebuke of a wise man. I don't know about you, but rebukes can be painful. They hurt. We would rather have our egos tickled and stroked and our ears tickled. We would rather be approved than appraised. Yet wisdom is imparted through the wise man's rebuke. I remember my freshman year of college. I went to Grace University. It's a small Bible college. And my grandparents lived right next door. And so my freshman year of college, you guys are laughing already. My grandpa pulls me aside and he has a conversation with me, and I'll never forget it. He's talking about the company that I keep, the people that I'm investing in. Are you here for school, son, or are you here to just have fun? And I said, well, a little bit of both. But there is a sense in which when we go to college that freshman year, that freedom can get us. And he was reeling me back in. He said, son, be wise. Use this time. Now, he probably was right. I failed New Testament Greek. So that's probably why they're asking me to teach out of the Old Testament and not the New Testament. I later passed that class, though. So, Adam, don't worry. I passed it. I'll never forget my grandpa's rebuke, but it was painful. It was painful because he was not pleased with me. He showed dissatisfaction. He was not approving of what I was doing. And for me, Grandpa Cheddar, his approval was important. Because he didn't say much, but when he said it, you listened. I want to read a couple of Psalms and Proverbs for you. Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is an oil for my head. Proverbs 6:23. The reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Proverbs 15:31, 33. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And I love this one, Proverbs 27, 6 and 9, because I can think of a lot of you faithful friends. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Proverbs 1:1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I was reading Steve Lawson's book, Legacy, and it's really about a book to fathers about what kind of legacy they're going to leave for their kids. He says, in order to pass on a legacy of wisdom, you must know the word. You must exalt the Son of God. And you must depend on the Holy Spirit. Those three things, know the word, exalt the Son, depend on the Holy Spirit, those three things will be in your life a legacy of wisdom to those who come after you. When they think of you, they will say, he knew the word. He exalted Christ. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of legacy I want to have. Verse 6, he talks about the crackling of thorns. Have you guys ever tried to light a thorn bush on fire? I'm sure some of you pyromaniacs have. If you've ever started a fire with thorns, you know that it makes popping sounds. It's very loud. It's obnoxious. And it's not very sustainable. And it doesn't give off much heat. Yet he says in verse 6, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity." You know, the laughter of fools, you think about it, it is temporary. It's fun to listen to at for a time, but then it is unsustainable for true wisdom and godliness. This noise is all around us and can impact the wisdom that we hear and receive. But a fool's words and their laughter is like unfiltered noise that has not passed through the filter of a trained mind. Wisdom's rebuke is better than folly's laughter, isn't it? Tough to hear, but much better. 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 16, think about what the Apostle Paul is saying to us this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Are you growing in your personal knowledge and understanding of the Word of God? Is God the Son exalted in your home? Are you depending on the Holy Spirit daily and not your own worldly wisdom and treasures? Solomon is asking us to focus not on the temporal, but on the eternal. He says a life lived for Christ is a legacy of wisdom, fully apprehended through the wise man's instruction. My third point in your outline, a legacy of wisdom fully anticipated. And we find that in verses 8 through 12. A legacy of wisdom fully anticipated. Really, this is our inheritance of what wisdom can be to us. Here we see the value of what wisdom is. He says here, "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools." He also goes on to say, "Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." And then he says in verse 11, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun." And don't miss verse 12. "For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom does what? Preserves the life of him who has it. It is life-giving. That's the advantage of wisdom here. It is our inheritance. It provides a benefit to those living under the sun. That's what inheritance does. But in order to receive an inheritance, a loved one must die. Their life must come to an end. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. The completion of something is always better than the start. My father, he's a builder, carpenter. And I remember when he taught me always how important hard work really truly is. And you kind of get that from a carpenter, don't you? Look at these hands. They've never seen a hammer. I'm in sales. But my father taught me that hard work is important. And I just remember going out to a lot that we purchased, and it was just an empty lot. And we go out there, and he's got his survey instruments. He's looking at, you know, these measurements, and they're trying to formulate where the foundation's going to go. And they're taking all these measurements on the land. And then the final plans for the foundation are established, and the building then can be erected, okay? Well, the final product of a home is gorgeous. A brand new spec home that he built. Just beautiful. Beautiful home. And when the completion of that home is established, you realize that better is the end of a thing than its beginning. The beginning was important and necessary, but the final product is the awe-inspiring completion of a job well done. Wisdom is very similar. Wisdom's benefits are not always realized immediately. One must be patient. But the final product of wisdom is that which gives life. Verse 12. Solomon's connecting advantage to the wise man here over the fool is that which gives life. So how can we live differently based on this? Verse 9 and 10, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for this is foolish. And say not, why were the former days better than these? This is also foolish. And usually we tell ourselves in life we have a right to be angry, don't we? I have a right to be angry. But Solomon sees our anger for what it really is. It's sin. Sinful folly, spiritual immaturity, and an underlining mistrust in the sovereignty of God in our lives. Anger is an indication of impatience and arrogance. These are the marks of a fool. Proverbs 14:17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. We must have humble submission to the Lord's sovereign providence through life's trials and complications. A wise man does not idolize the past. He is always forward thinking. He's not thinking about those were the good old days. He is thinking about eternity in mind, an eternal focus. He's not drifting off into past memories of delusion or of grandeur. And in my job, sometimes we do focus on the past. Sometimes past successes will dictate what our future budgets will be. We'll look at month over month and year over year successes or stats and then figure out how we're going to plan. Planning is not bad, but what he's saying is don't look back. Those weren't your better days. Your best days are yet to come. Your best days are future. Your best days are eternal. If you have this wisdom, this inheritance, it only comes through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. With our focus on eternity, we know in our hearts and say it loudly with the Apostle Paul in Romans, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Consider your inheritance. Not an inheritance on this earth of money, although it is beneficial and it will protect you, but a life lived for Christ is a legacy of wisdom that is fully anticipated through our inheritance from the Son and given to us by the Holy Spirit. I want to conclude with this. I want to consider our Lord in this text. Consider with me Jesus Christ our Lord. First point I want to make in this conclusion is a good name is better than precious ointment. Back in verse 1. Can you think of a better name than Jesus Christ the Lord? A good name is better than precious ointment. I can't think of a better name. The Lord's name and his renown is undeniable. His fame is unmatched. His legacy is stamped in all of our hearts through the power of the gospel. Psalm 135:13, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout the ages. Philippians 2:9-11. I want you to hear this. This is a great verse for this text. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. 1b, when you look at it, is the day of death is better than the day of birth. Christ's death is better than his birth, isn't it? Consider it. We celebrate it every year, his birth, don't we? Christmas is coming. It's only a couple months away. Can you believe it? We celebrate his birth, yet his life-giving, sacrificial work on the cross is why you and I are here this morning. His death is better than his birth. That's what Solomon is saying here. In light of eternity, let's think of Christ. Christ's death is better. He was the man of sorrows, but oh, we appreciate him for it, don't we? Verse 3, third point of your conclusion. Sadness of face, the heart is made glad. All of us, when we deal with our sin and we come face to face with Christ and our own sin, there is a sadness that comes over us, right? But yet, what happens in the heart? It's made glad. Because of the gospel, your heart is made glad. Your face shows that you're sad, but your heart is impacted. Fourth point, verse 6. Christ's crown of thorns. The crown of thorns that was placed on his head. Oh, fools mocked. Oh, fools laughed. And just like in our text here, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. And they placed the crown of thorns upon his brow. Our king. And he was mocked. Fifth point in the conclusion. I'm almost done. Christ's life-ending work on the cross. He said, "It is finished." What began with the coming of a baby in a manger, how will it end? It will end with the consummation of Christ the King in his eternal kingdom. Will the end be better than the beginning? Absolutely it will be. The end will be better than the beginning. The eternal focus and mindset is in place here. So think about your legacy. And I would just ask that you'd all stand with me as I close with this chapter and verse in 1 Peter. What will be your legacy? How will you be remembered? What kind of lasting influence will you have? Is your life a life lived to Christ that's a legacy of wisdom? I think about the inheritance that we'll receive because of Christ in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Please listen to this text, and we'll close with this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Will you pray with me? Father, give us a lasting influence, we pray, in our lives. May our lives be marked by the fact that we exalt the Son, that we love your word, and that we depend on your Holy Spirit. May our legacy be a legacy of wisdom. We thank you for Solomon, our preacher here this morning, who gives us this text so that we can be eternal focused, so that we can, in a sense, trust completely our future in you, Lord Jesus. And as we go, may we just have this focus throughout the week and these coming months. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.